Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we continue with our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called A Faith That Doesn't Hold On to Hurt.
Number three, anytime I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Anytime I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Bitterness doesn't just choke out your happiness. It doesn't just choke out your emotions. It strangles your spirit. It suffocates your spirit. You know, during COVID, people who get the pandemic disease often say, I can't breathe. And we heard that phrase racial context too. I can't breathe. But when you have bitterness in your heart, you can't breathe spiritually. It's like you're choosing to carry around a load of garbage. It's an unnecessary load. It's a heavy weight. For some reason, you choose to do it. But bitterness weighs you down. It depresses your spirit. Look at this verse. Proverbs 27, verse 3. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but resentment caused by a fool is heavier than both. You know, sometimes we think that we're actually hurting the person who hurt us by holding on to the hurt and holding a grudge. That somehow me being mad long after the event happened, that's somehow making you miserable. But bitterness is a worthless weapon. It doesn't hurt them. It only makes you miserable. They may not even be aware that you're thinking about them all the time. You're obsessing with them. They're out there eating a steak dinner, having a good time and partying. They're not even thinking about you. You're the one that's obsessed with the hurt. They've already moved on with their life. It's a worthless weapon, all right? It's like drinking poison and hoping you kill them with it. Now, some of you were hurt by people a long time ago. And as your pastor, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they hurt you. But I will tell you some good news. They can't hurt you anymore, okay? The only way they can continue to hurt you is if you choose to hold on to the hurt and rehearse it over and over in your mind. And when you choose to hold on to that hurt and keep going over and over, that's dumb. They can't hurt you anymore. That's why Job 18, verse 4, there on your outline says this, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. So, when I harbor hurt, I walk out of God's will. God stops blessing my life. When I retain resentment, I halt my happiness. Okay? I just stop being happy. Can't be happy and bitter at the same. When I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. Now, the fourth cost of holding on to hurt is this. Anytime I internalize my anger, I harm my health. I harm my health. It's bad for your body. Many, many, many studies have shown that resentment is the most physically damaging emotion you can have. Just as gratitude is the healthiest emotion you can have, resentment is the most damaging emotion on your body. It's bad for your body. It is a source of all kinds of physical ailments. It can even shorten your life. Now, doctors discovered this in the last 100 years. But thousands of years ago in Job 5:2 says this, to worry yourself to death with resentment to worry yourself to death with resentment is a foolish, senseless thing to do. Now, sometimes we're so careful about what we eat, and we're trying to protect our health, so we're eating healthy. But let me tell you a bigger issue. The bigger issue in your life for your health is not what are you eating, but what's eating you. That has a lot more damage. That'll shorten your years a whole lot faster. Not what are you eating, but what's eating you. Bitterness is a cancer that will eat you up. We've all known people who were eaten up by it. They shriveled because of the bitterness in their life. Solomon noticed this several thousand years ago. And in Ecclesiastes 5:17, he talks about people who are so upset, okay, by their emotions. And he says this, Ecclesiastes 5:17, all they get are days full of sadness and sorrow, and they end up sick, defeated, and angry. You know anybody like that? Doctors say they could empty the hospital by 50% if they could help people get rid of guilt and resentment, because that has put a lot of people in the hospital. Now, the fifth price that you pay when you allow bitterness to stay in your life is this. Anytime I hold a grudge, it's going to hurt many people. It's going to hurt many people. You see, unfortunately, resentment, like COVID-19, is contagious. And bitterness is a communicable disease. It can be spread verbally. And you can give it to other people by the way you talk. And it can ruin their lives too. It doesn't just ruin your happiness. We've all seen this happen in families where one bitter person makes everybody miserable. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this, look after each other. Okay, it says, you know, pay attention, check up on each other. Look after each other so that you keep living in God's grace, being gracious to each other. Why? Well, he says in the next part of it, see to it that no root of bitterness grows among you. He said, don't let any bitterness grow up in your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with the coworkers. He said, in your small group, your church, wherever. He says, be gracious to each other. See to it that no bitterness grows up among you, because if you become bitter about anything, you'll miss God's grace. And that will cause much trouble. A bitter person will poison and ruin everyone else. Whoa. That's what the Bible says. A bitter person will poison and ruin everybody else. So let me just ask you a very personal and a very pointed question. Do you want to be that kind of person? Do you want to be that kind of known for your resentment, for your bitterness, for your crankiness, who just won't let go of a hurt? You were hurt so many years ago and you're still living with it. So you're willing to cause a ton of relational damage in other people's lives too. You want everybody else to be as miserable as you. Is that what you want? It's too expensive. You can't afford resentment. Let me give you a couple more. A sixth cost of holding on to hurt, these are all from the Bible, is this. Anytime I won't let it go, when somebody's hurt me, anytime I won't let it go, I act like an unbeliever. Yeah, did you know unbelievers obviously can act like unbelievers? We often do. It's poor testimony to the world when we respond to problems with the same immaturity that unbelievers do. We all have, as believers, the resources for healing that God gives us, but we refuse to use them because we want to hold on to some grudge. Again, Job has something to teach us. In Job 36, verse 13, Message translation says this, angry people without God, he's talking about non-believers, angry people without God pile grievance upon grievance, always blaming others for their troubles. Now, there are literally a lot of examples of that in the news every day. bitter people blaming other bitter people, accepting no responsibility, piling one complaint upon another, playing gotcha, building a mountain of misery and a pile of pain. But the Bible says this in the Living Translation of Job 36:13, the godless are full of resentment. That's a mark of godlessness. They're full of resentment. Now, if I'm full of resentment, I can't be full of God. If I'm full of resentment, I can't be full of happiness. If I'm full of resentment, I can't be full of love. Only one thing is going to fill you up. Now, if you're taking notes, circle that word full. Anytime you're full of resentment, you can't be full of the Holy Spirit. You can't. If I'm full of bitterness, I can't be full of God's presence in my life. And finally, there's a seventh cost of bitterness and unforgiveness, and it's the most expensive price tag of all. And it's this: anytime I won't forgive, I won't let it go, I block God's forgiveness in my own life. Anytime I won't forgive you for some hurt you've done, I block God's forgiveness in my life. Now look at this verse. In Matthew 6, verse 15, Jesus says this: if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa. He's saying, I block God's forgiveness when I'm unforgiving because I burn the bridge that I have to walk across to get into heaven. In other words, I cannot expect to receive from God what I am unwilling to offer and give to others. This is a very important statement here. It's a high price. If I am unforgiving, I will be unforgiven. Now, when we look at this list of the seven costs of holding on to a hurt that I just gave you, all those seven things, let me ask you this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it holding on to that grudge? Is it worth it being bitter? Is it worth it refusing to let that person off the hook? When I harbor hurt, I walk out of God's will. When I retain resentment, I halt my happiness. When I breathe bitterness, I suffocate my spirit. When I internalize my anger, I harm my health. It's bad for my body. When I hold a grudge, I hurt many people. When I refuse to let it go, I'm acting like an unbeliever. And when I won't forgive, I block God's forgiveness in my own life. So the bottom line is this: bitterness is not worth it. Resentment is not worth it. The price is too high. You need to not go one more second without dealing with it right now. So you ask, okay, great. How do I do it? How do I let go of a hurt that I don't want to let go of? Well, James in the Bible tells us to do three things with our hurt. Now, here they are. Write these down. They're very simple, but they're profound. What do I do with my hurt? First thing, number one, give it to God. Give it to God. Let Him handle it. Unload it on the Lord. You say it like this: God, this hurt is too heavy for me to carry, and I'm not smart enough to know what's the right thing to do about it, and I'll probably make a mess of it. So, Father, I'm giving you this hurt. That person hurt me, and I would like for you to handle it. It's now out of my hands. I wash my hands of it. It's in your hands. That's what you say. You give it to God. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that God has already volunteered and is willing to handle it for you. In fact, what I just told you to do, He tells us to do. He commands us to unload it on Him. Jesus said this. I love Mark chapter 11, verse 25 in the Amplified Translation. Listen to this. It's pretty strong. He says, whenever you pray, if you have anything against anyone, that pretty much covers everything. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. And listen to this, let it drop. Just leave it and let it go. Let it drop, just leave it and let it go, in order that your Father in heaven may also forgive you for your failings and your shortcomings, and let them drop. He says, I'm going to cut you some slack. You cut others some slack. And if you do that for them, I'm going to do that for you. Now, based on this statement of Jesus, let me ask you a question. He says, you should just let it drop and I'll let the stuff in your life drop. Based on this statement, let me ask you this. How much energy does it take to drop something? How much energy does it take to drop? Nothing. You just let it go. Okay? It doesn't take any energy at all. You just let it go. And all of that energy that you've been putting into hating and resenting and having a grudge and carrying your grudge and nursing your resentment, all that energy that you've been wasting on that is now released to be used on more important and constructive projects. Later in 1 Timothy, Paul adds these words about what God wants us to do. 1 Timothy 2:8. He says, what is needed everywhere is for people to lift up their holy hands in prayer. Look at this. What is needed everywhere is for people to lift up their holy hands in prayer instead of having angry disputes and resentment. What is he saying here? He's saying, okay, instead of being out there and commiserating with all the others on all the things that you think are unfair in your life, instead of commiserating with others, communicate to God. And he says, lift up your holy hands in prayer instead of being angry and resentful. I love the way the Message translation says it. Look at this on the screen, 1 Timothy 2:8. God says, I want you not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. You see the difference here? Stop shaking your angry fist at all the people you're upset with, that you disagree with, and start raising holy hands to God in prayer, praying for them. Let me ask you, have you been wasting too much time shaking your fist at your cultural enemies, your political enemies, your personal enemies? Why don't you start trying to raise your hands in prayer instead? You get a whole lot better results. And in fact, today, I want to give you a challenge for the next 60 days. Now, I know that some of you, this would be really hard because the truth is you're addicted. You're addicted to do this. But if you're serious about reducing anger and frustration and bitterness in your life, maybe the best thing you could do to get some perspective in your life is to do a social media and news fast. Instead of spending so much time on Facebook, get your face in this book. That'll make a difference. All right? Get your face in this book and talk to God while you're reading. Stop watching so much news. It just upsets you. Okay? Stop getting on social media where all those trolls are looking to hook people and get them angry. They get their thrills. And they're going, oh, I caught another one. Got a live one. Give your hurt to God. And go through a media fast. And then, as Romans 12 reminds us, trust God to take care of it. That's the first step. Give it to God, and then let God take care of it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today. But first, so many of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like to let you know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs. and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning. Just partner with us at Daily Hope and let us partner with you in reaching your friends and family for Christ. By the way, write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and let me know who you're praying for, who you want to come to Christ this Christmas, who you're inviting to church. I'd love to pray with you about that. God bless you.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get your copy, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.